Welcome to the deep dive. You know, our mobile networks, they're becoming way more software-driven these days.
That's right.
And while that gives us amazing flexibility, all sorts of new possibilities, it also kind of opens up a whole new world of potential security problems, attack surfaces.
Exactly. That virtualization, the softwareization, it brings agility, sure, but also these inherent complexities. And we need, well, equally smart ways to secure them.
So today we're really plunging into some cutting-edge research. We're looking at how scientists are like thinking like the attackers to find weaknesses in 5G and, you know, what comes next, trying to find them before they get exploited.
And we'll be looking specifically at some really fascinating academic work using novel fuzzing techniques.
Fuzzing, like throwing digital curveballs, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Throwing unexpected stuff at these systems to see what breaks or what behaves unexpectedly. And these techniques are tailored for the unique challenges of 5G and, you know, related tech.
Okay, let's dig into our first source then. It's called Systematic Meets Unintended: Prior Knowledge Adaptive 5G Vulnerability Detection via Multifuzzing. Quite a mouthful.
Yeah.
But the researchers here, they flagged a key issue, didn't they? That a lot of current 5G security research is maybe too focused, like on very specific problems instead of looking at the bigger picture.
That's the core problem they identify. Not enough of a holistic view. And their solution is, well, it's pretty clever. It's a new systematic fuzzing approach that actually adapts based on how much an attacker might know.
Adapts? How so?
Well, they also use this digital twin platform. Think of it like a virtual copy, a replica of the network.
A digital twin for a network. Wow.
Yeah. So they can test things safely, simulate attacks, even test defenses. It's a powerful setup.
Sounds incredible for security testing. Okay, so they came up with three different fuzzing strategies. The first one is listen and learn, LAL. What's that about? It's a black box thing, right? No prior knowledge needed.
Exactly, black box. LAL basically operates without knowing anything about the 5G protocols beforehand. It just listens, observes legitimate messages going back and forth.
Like a spy.
Sort of. Then it replays those messages, but it starts swapping out commands, making little changes, introducing variations to see if it can trip something up. It learns by watching and trying things.
And it sounds like it worked pretty well. The paper says it found, what, 129 RRC vulnerabilities? That's the radio resource control connection stuff.
129, yeah. And the average detection time was just 0.072 seconds. Super fast.
Faster than blinking. Finding that many flaws in just the basic connection setup, what does that tell us?
It really highlights something critical. Even these fundamental, supposedly well-understood parts of 5G can have significant hidden flaws, things that maybe more traditional tests might just miss.
Okay, strategy number two, synchronize and learn, or SIAL. Also black box, but sounds maybe a bit more refined.
It is. SIAL is also a black box, but it incorporates bits of information an attacker might actually have, like, say, some user details. Then he uses probability-based fuzzing.
Probability-based. So less random guesswork.
Exactly. Instead of just pure random changes, it learns. It figures out which types of changes, which command swaps, seem more likely to cause an interesting result, either a successful connection or maybe a weird failure.
Ah, okay.
And based on that probability, it focuses its efforts. The paper shows it had better precision, better recall, finding more vulnerabilities with fewer attempts. Pretty efficient.
That's smart, learning from its own tests. Okay, number three, source and learn, SOAL. This one's white box, meaning they do have the inside scoop.
Correct, white box. So AOL gets access to the source code or at least detailed protocol specs. It goes deeper, fuzzing specific significant bits within the messages.
What's the advantage of that?
It lets them not just find vulnerabilities, but actually understand why they happen, pinpoint the root cause. And using SOAL, they found three man-in-the-middle vulnerabilities.
Whoa, MIT-YEM, that's serious.
Very serious. And these stem from weaknesses in the 5G protocol design itself. Suggest potential architectural issues, not just implementation bugs.
Right. The paper also talks about these legal and invalid states in the RSC protocol. States that aren't clearly success or failure. What's the deal with those?
Yeah, that's a key point. These are like ambiguous situations. The system doesn't throw an error flag, so they might seem okay, but they can lead to weird, exploitable behavior down the line.
Like edge cases.
Exactly. Think of it like the system getting into a weird, unexpected state that wasn't fully planned for. Not quite a crash, but definitely not right and potentially risky. They focus their detection on finding inputs that trigger these states.
Okay, those tricky gray areas. And to predict these risks, they use state transaction probability maps. How do those work?
So by watching how the protocol moves between its internal states during all the fuzzing tests, they build up statistics. They can see which sequences of state changes transactions often happen right before a connection fails.
Like identifying dangerous patterns.
Precisely. They map out the risky sequences. They found 7 specific high-risk state transaction cases that almost only showed up in failed connections. In fact, over 70% of failed connections had at least one of these risky transactions.
So that gives them a way to predict failure. 70.54% recall, the paper says. That's pretty good, but they wanted better.
Yeah, 70% is good, but not perfect. So to get higher reliability and, crucially, earlier prediction, they brought in machine learning. Specifically, an LSTM model, long short-term memory.
Ah, neural networks.
Yeah.
For predicting connection failures. That feels very cutting edge.
It really is. LSTMs are great for analyzing sequences, like the sequence of states in a connection attempt. And the results were, well, quite impressive.
How impressive?
By looking at just the first 10 steps, the first 10 state transitions, they could predict failure with about 89% accuracy. That's the AUC score.
Just 10 steps in?
Yep. And even faster, looking at just the first 0.08 seconds of the connection attempt, they reached 96% AUC.
Wow. So 0.08 seconds in, they can predict with 96% accuracy if it's going to fail.
Exactly. And on average, this prediction, because it's so early, gives the network about 3.5 seconds of advance warning. Time to potentially take proactive action, reroute traffic, block the connection, whatever.
3.5 seconds. In network time, that's huge. That could absolutely shift security from reactive to proactive. Did this prediction model ever get it wrong, though? False alarms.
They did mention one specific case. If the base station, the GNB, sent 3 paging messages really early, within those first 10 states, the model sometimes flagged it as a likely failure when it wasn't.
Okay. So the AI needs a bit more tuning for edge cases like that.
Yeah, it shows these models are powerful, but need refinement to really understand all the nuances of normal network behavior. But overall, the researchers seem pretty optimistic this whole multi-fuzzing and prediction approach could scale.
Scale to other parts of 5G.
Absolutely. They think the methods could be adapted for other 5G platforms, other protocols beyond RRC. It's a big step towards real-time vulnerability finding and, yeah, proactive defense.
Okay. Fascinating stuff. Let's switch gears now to the second paper, BaseSafe. Baseband sanitized fuzzing through emulation.
This one zooms in on the baseband, right? The phone's radio brain.
Exactly. The cellular baseband. And it's a critical area because, as the paper points out, it parses a lot of data from the network before your phone is even authenticated.
Before authentication.
That sounds risky.
It is. It makes the baseband a really stealthy attack vector.
Yeah.
And adding to the challenge, there's not a ton of public research because baseband firmware is usually super proprietary, very secret. It's often a black box for security folks.
So, a hidden danger zone. How does BaseSafe try to tackle this?
BaseSafe is a new framework specifically for fuzzing these basebands. The key idea is partial rehosting. They basically take important parts of the baseband firmware and run them in a controlled environment, an emulator, off the actual phone.
Running it off the phone, that sounds way faster and easier to analyze.
Much faster, yeah. And they can instrument it, watch it closely, even if the original firmware is closed source. Plus, they built this special tool, a sanitizing drop-in allocator.
What does that do?
It's a custom memory manager that's really good at catching a common, nasty type of bug called heap-based buffer overflows, right as they happen during fuzzing.
Okay, so rehosting, emulation, and the sanitizer, how did they test it out?
They built a proof of concept targeting a MediaTek baseband. Those are common in many phones, specifically one running Nucleus RTOS. They focused on fuzzing message parsers that could be reached by a rogue base station, like a fake cell tower.
And the speed, was it fast?
Incredibly fast. They were hitting hundreds of executions per second on a single CPU core. Across multiple cores, they were running something like 15,000 test cases every second.
15,000 a second? How?
They used the Unicorn emulator, which is pretty lightweight, but they heavily customized it. They integrated tools from AFL++, a popular fuzzer, and added their own custom API for that heap sanitizer. A big speed boost comes from a trick using Alfork Server Start. It lets them quickly reset the state of the emulated baseband between test cases, much faster than restarting the whole emulation. Kind of like instantly resetting a level in a video game.
Clever.
And they also improved Unicorn's own code generation speed with a smart caching mechanism, inspired by another tool, QEMU, but they made it even faster. It all adds up to very rapid fuzzing cycles.
Makes sense. They also mentioned a debug mode. for when things go wrong.
Yeah, when the fuzzer finds an input that crashes the emulated baseband, the debug mode kicks in. It gives a detailed trace of the execution path, register values, everything the researcher needs to figure out why it crashed and if it's exploitable.
Gotcha. Now, they focused on fuzzing LTE, RRC, and EMM messages specifically. Why those?
Because those are the messages used right at the beginning when your phone first tries to connect to the network. They happen before full authentication.
The pre-authentication risk again.
Exactly. If there's a vulnerability in how the baseband handles those early messages, an attacker near you with a rogue base station might be able to compromise your phone before it's even properly connected and secured.
Yeah.
Bypassing layers of security.
Scary stuff. And they found that similar code was used across different MediaTek chips, even ARM versus MIPS.
Yeah, that was interesting. Their proof of concept used an ARMM-based chip, but they found very similar parsing logic in MIPS-based versions, too.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests a lot of code reuse. Good for developers, maybe, but it means one bug could affect many different device models.
Yeah. They also talked about internal layer messages, ILMs, inside the MediaTek firmware. Sounds pretty specific.
It is, but understanding that internal structure is key for effective fuzzing. ILMs are how different software modules within the baseband talk to each other. And the functions that manage memory for these messages, allocating buffers, freeing them, those are prime targets for memory corruption bugs.
Like buffer overflows.
Exactly.
Okay.
If the fuzzer can trick one of those memory management functions, it can lead to a crash or worse.
And that's where the custom allocator and the unicorn hooks come in again.
Precisely. BaseSafe's allocator uses Unicorn's ability to monitor memory operations. These hooks watch for any attempt to read or write memory outside the proper boundaries. It catches those out-of-bounds accesses immediately.
So it finds the memory bugs right away. Looking ahead, what's next for BaseSafe? The paper mentioned future work.
They have several ideas. One is to hunt for trickier logic bugs, things like bypassing authentication checks or disabling security timers, not just causing crashes. Those are often harder to find.
Right.
They also want to improve coverage tracking during fuzzing, make it more precise. And of course, expand to fuzz other targets, maybe older 2G functions, other vendors' basebands. Plus, more automation in setting up the fuzzing harnesses using heuristics and static analysis.
It really sounds like BaseSafe is a big step forward for shining a light into these baseband black boxes.
Definitely. The speeds they achieved, the coverage, finding real, reproducible, over-the-air vulnerabilities. It shows this approach has serious potential to make our phones more secure at a very fundamental level.
Okay, let's broaden out a bit with our third source. This one's a presentation titled Security Testing of Network Protocol Implementations. Gives us more context on fuzzing generally.
Right. This presentation really hammers home the point about stateful protocols, how the system's reaction depends not just on the last message, but the whole history of messages before it. That code snippet they show makes it clear the handle packet logic changes based on the current state.
Yeah, that sequence matters. And fuzzing, the presentation says, is basically about hitting the system with weird inputs to see if it breaks.
That's the core idea. You have the system under test, the SUT, that's your protocol implementation, and the test harness sends it invalid or unexpected messages. The goal is finding bugs triggered by inputs that developers didn't anticipate.
And it's proven really effective in practice, hasn't it?
Hugely effective. The presentation mentions Google finding thousands of bugs in Chrome and open source projects using fuzzing, and Microsoft saving millions with their Sage Fuzzer, finding bugs in Windows 7 before release. It's a standard part of secure development now for many companies.
So how does modern fuzzing get so effective? The presentation talks about coverage guidance using AFL as an example.
Yeah, coverage-guided fuzzing is really smart. Mm. Instead of just pure random inputs, the fuzzer watches which parts of the code get executed by each input. AFL, for example, tracks which code branches, like if statements are taken.
Okay.
If a new input makes the program run code that hasn't been run before, the fuzzer thinks, ooh, that's interesting. It saves that input and uses it as a base for future mutations. It's constantly trying to explore new paths in the code. Not the full path, mind you, but which branches get hit.
Like mapping out the program's execution paths? The presentation also mentions grammar-based fuzzing, like Peach Fuzzer. How's that different?
Grammar-based fuzzing is more structured. You give the fuzzer a definition, a grammar, of what valid protocol messages look like, often in XML.
Okay.
Then the fuzzer generates inputs that generally follow that structure, but contain mutations in specific fields. It's less random than coverage-guided fuzzing, and can be really good for complex protocols where totally random data would just be rejected immediately.
Makes sense. And finally, it touches on model-based testing for finding logical flaws, not just crashes.
Right. Model-based testing is about checking if the program behaves according to its specification, its abstract model. You create a model of how it should work, then generate tests to see if the real implementation actually follows those rules.
So checking the logic.
Exactly. They mentioned using it successfully against TLS and Wi-Fi. The idea could be, say, modeling the expected handshake sequence and then generating tests that violate that sequence, dropping messages, injecting extras, modifying fields to see if the system handles the deviation correctly according to the model. It finds logical errors, not just memory corruption.
Checking if it plays by the rules. Okay, let's loop back quickly to BaseSafe again. We have another bit here showing the MediaTek baseband architecture.
Figure 2 from their paper. It's a good diagram.
Yeah.
You see the layers, the Nucleus OS at the bottom, the MediaTek abstraction layer, drivers for hardware like the SIM, layer 1 for the actual radio signals.
And then the protocol stacks on top.
Right, you see LTE RRC, the MMGM, EMM for mobility, all those different protocol layers running within the baseband. It really shows you how much complex software is running just to make your phone connect to the network. Lots of places for things to potentially go wrong.
Definitely complex. And there's also listing 1, the REST function signature for a fuzz in BaseSafe. What does that tell us?
That code snippet gives you a peek under the hood at how BaseSafe connects the AFL plus fuzzer to the Unicorn emulator. You see things like input placement callback.
Which tells it where to put the fuzz data.
Exactly. Where in the emulated memory. And crash validation callback, which is how BaseSafe checks if the test run resulted in a crash or one of those sanitizer errors it looks for. These are the hooks connecting the fuzzer's brain to the emulated target.
Got it. Okay, source number 5, PDF, an automated black box equivalence testing framework for LTTE. This one brings in DIQ. What's this framework about?
DIQ is interesting. It's about automatically checking if different TE implementations behave the same way equivalence testing. It focuses on those familiar NAS and RRC layers again.
Equivalence testing. So seeing if different phones follow the same rules.
Kinda, yeah. They use a formal methods tool, the NuxNV model checker, to compare finite state machines, or FSMs. And FSM is basically a formal map of all the states a system can be in and how it transitions between them.
How do they test real phones with this?
They took an open source LTE stack, SRS-LTE, and modified it. They swapped out its NAS and RRC state machines and added adapters to forward packets. This lets them send the same network messages to different real phones and see if their state transitions match the behavior of their modified reference SRS-LTE stack.
Comparing real devices against a reference model, Table 2 shows some tests. What did they find?
Table 2 gives examples of their tests, like replaying a GUTI reallocation message or sending plain text identity requests after security should be active. They tested a bunch of phones, Pixel, Huawei, Xiaomi, iPhone, others.
Were they all the same?
Nope. They found differences. Some phones would wrongly accept a replayed GUTI message, others wouldn't. Some handled the unexpected plain text requests differently. It highlights inconsistencies between implementations on different devices.
Which could lead to bugs or security issues, right?
Absolutely. Inconsistent behavior means potential interoperability problems and attack surfaces that might exist on one phone but not another.
Really shows the challenge of that diverse device ecosystem. Okay, last source. PDF HFuzz towards automatic fuzzing testing of NB-IoT core network protocols implementations. Focusing on narrowband IoT this time.
Right, NB-IoT. Low power stuff for the Internet of Things.
Yeah.
HFuzz is a fuzzer designed specifically for the core network protocols used there. It's gray box, so it has some protocol knowledge.
And it focuses on complex frame structures. What does that mean?
They define that as protocols where messages have multiple nested layers of information. Think of data packed inside other data, maybe several levels deep. GTPB2's create session request is their example. It has hierarchies of information elements. HFuzz is built to handle that nesting.
How does it handle it? What's the architecture?
The core idea is the message structure tree, or MST. Based on the protocol's known format, or rule, it builds a tree representing the message's hierarchical structure.
A tree structure, okay.
Then it has a mutator that modifies nodes in this tree, respecting the structure. A monitor tracks coverage using basic blocks, and a sender handles sending mutated messages.
So the MST lets it fuzz more intelligently within the protocol structure. How is the tree built and used?
It's built by decomposition from raw binary data using the protocol rule. Then the mutator fiddles with the tree. To send a message, the tree is converted back to binary via serialization. And cleverly, it can build a partial MST even with incomplete knowledge of the format.
Making the best of what it knows. Does it use coverage feedback like AFL?
Yes, it does. It tracks basic block coverage and prioritizes mutating parts of the MST, the positive hierarchies that lead to discovering new blocks.
Then they improved on that.
They did. They added an enhancement to ignore meaningless basic blocks, ones that always run, or error blocks triggered by any bad input. This focuses the fuzzing effort even better.
Smart. How did each fuzz perform compared to other fuzzers?
They tested it against AFL and Peach on both an open source OAI and a commercial MBIOT implementation using that complex GTPv2 message. The results shown in their figures were pretty clear.
HFuzz did better.
Yes. The enhanced HFuzz consistently got higher basic block coverage, and it got there faster than AFL or Peach. It plateaued much quicker.
So that message structure tree really helps.
Seems so. The conclusion is that the MST helps HFuzz generate more valid structured inputs early on, which leads to finding deeper paths and better coverage more quickly, especially for these complex hierarchical protocols. And the enhancement optimizes it further.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot of ground we've covered. From broad 5G fuzzing strategies to deep dives into basebands and specialized IoT protocols, it's clear security testing is getting way more sophisticated.
It has to. As these networks become more software-based, more complex, The old ways of testing just aren't enough. We need these kinds of innovative, proactive approaches.
Things like multi-strategy fuzzing, emulation, using state knowledge, understanding protocol structure.
Yeah.
It really feels like progress.
Absolutely. This research we've looked at, it's pushing the boundaries, trying to find vulnerabilities faster, more efficiently, even predict them before they happen. It's essential work for making future mobile communications more secure and reliable.
These efforts really could make a difference in keeping our connected world safer.
Definitely. And, you know, thinking about how fast this tech evolves, It leaves us with a big question, maybe for you listening.
Yeah.
How do we keep adapting these advanced fuzzing techniques? How do we scale them to handle the next generation of network tech, the inevitable increase in complexity, the security threats we haven't even thought of yet?
Keeping security ahead of the curve.
It's a constant challenge, and it's going to keep cybersecurity researchers busy for a long, long time.